Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd for show number 20 of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd, how you doing?
Man, you know, I wish I could say that I was doing well, but of course, getting a chance to take a look at my beloved Raiders in the first half here, man, it is not looking good at all. But outside of that, man, feeling pretty good.
Yeah, how you definitely, doing, man? Definitely a crazy weekend in sports and, you know, in football in particular, both college and at the NFL level. And, you know, just goes to show, if you could truly pick the games and know who's going to win, you could make it in Vegas. But this weekend, a lot of that went out the window.
Yeah. So it was a sensational weekend if you liked upsets in the NFL. And, you know, of course, I had a chance to witness one yesterday, being on the sidelines with the Indianapolis Colts coming into town and taking on the San Francisco 49ers. And boy, what a jolt to the psyche of the Bay Area, especially San Francisco fans, as far as, you know, the aspirations and the hopes of getting to that Super Bowl once again. Now, I understand that it's early in the season. It's only game three. But, man, you have 2 weeks back-to-back getting smacked around by your boys up in Seattle at CenturyLink Field. And then, of course, yesterday, having the Indianapolis Colts come in and do exactly the same. You know, I can tell you there's a feel in San Francisco on that Candlestick that, you know, these fans aren't comfortable with right now. And there's a bunch of question marks going on as far as the way the organization is going.
Well, I can tell you up here in the Pacific Northwest and in and around Seattle, as I was this past weekend, just like yourself, working for a CBS at CenturyLink Field for the TV broadcast, you know, it's funny that the 49ers are getting smacked in the mouth. And I don't think, A, they know how to respond, and B, they're not used to it.
Yeah, I don't think they expected this at all. I mean, you have to take a look at, man, they were, you know, a play or two away from actually winning the Super Bowl. I actually think that the Super Bowl was a little more out of reach than that. You know, they had a couple of lucky bounces that got them back into the game. But, I mean, they played in the Super Bowl last year. They figure, you know, they get an addition in a Quan Bolden and, you know, a couple other pieces. They bring in a solid cornerback that was a little troubled in Philadelphia and Nnamdi Asamoah. So they, you know, they bring in a couple of defensive pieces and you would think that, hey, they're going to, you know, be a lot better than they were last year. And so far this year, you know, there's a bunch of question marks going on. And I believe that it starts with Seattle, that Seattle game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Sean, it definitely started the Niners on a downward spiral. And we'll have a lot of time to get into the San Francisco 49ers with our big time guest here in a few moments, Paul Gackel from the San Francisco Examiner, a good friend of the program. But while we have a couple minutes before Paul joins us, Sean, what did you think from the weekend in college football? Did you see the scores that were in the 70s, 72-0, 76-0? You know, the yeah. Huskies and the Cougars here in the Pacific Northwest and the Pac-12 were able to shut out their opponents playing Idaho and Idaho State.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to hear some things from the media, major media, as far as these games that are being scheduled by big-time schools. And you look at, I believe, Louisville played, and Teddy Bridgewater is on his campaign to win the Heisman. And I believe they won 72-0. And Ohio State, I believe, put a bunch of points on along with Miami. You know, what this does is this – you know, bringing these smaller schools in to play, you know, it helps the major school. It helps the major school in this aspect. If you want to put up numbers and you want to have stats by the end of the year, you know, play one of these teams. But on the flip side, if you schedule one of these teams in week one, like we saw, you can have upsets like the North Dakota States that come in and beat a Kansas State. Or you can have teams like Eastern Washington that beat a D1A school. I know that Oregon State has had a couple of times where they've lost to the Big Sky schools, the Division I AA. So you can have these smaller schools come in and they can make an impact. But after week two or week three, it becomes a huge problem because, let's face it, these Division I A schools are in rare form and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, it does benefit the smaller school from a financial standpoint. We all know that they get a nice check for, you know, playing the larger school that they're probably not going to beat unless you're at Eastern Washington upsetting Oregon State, who Mike Riley doesn't have that team playing anyway correctly here so far in 2013. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a fine line because for the players and the coaches, it's got to be defeating to take that huge loss. But then you have the upside of, hey, we took on a challenge. We live to see another day. And, oh, by the way, now we have a new weight room or new uniforms.
Yeah, well, here's an idea, you know, that I heard thrown around the past couple of days is why not have one of these smaller schools come in and play instead of you having your preseason scrimmage like the red or white game or the blue or blue and gold game? How about inviting one of those teams in to play before the season actually starts? You can still pay them the money. And that way it saves from, you know, having to watch the spectacle on TV. I believe the Louisville game was a running clock. I'd never heard of anything like that, a running clock in the second half because they didn't want the score to run up so bad. I don't know how much more worse it could be from 72 to nothing. But maybe you invite those schools, one of those schools in for a preseason, and then it saves face for everybody.
Absolutely. A lot of college football left for the season, and we're going to shift gears to the professional ranks and welcome in our big-time guest number one tonight, a good friend of the program, and that is Paul Gackle. Follow him on Twitter at Gackle Report, sports writer for the San Francisco Examiner, among many other places. Paul Gackle, thanks so much for joining us once again tonight here on The Double.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for being on the show, Paul. Hey, man, real quick, man, what in the world was going on yesterday in Candlestick?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody expected to really see this happen. The 49ers have gone from Super Bowl favorite to what the heck is going on. And, I mean, a couple things I would say that the offense obviously just didn't look the same without Vernon Davis. I think that Colin Kaepernick has experienced some growing pains. And then on top of that, maybe some coaching lapses because they seem to go away from the running game that was working very effectively in the first half. So a couple things there might explain what happened, but still it's pretty mind-boggling.
Yes, you mentioned the running game being successful in the first half. And one of the things that I noticed being on the sidelines – on the 49ers sidelines was the way that Frank Gore was really lobbying and campaigning for the ball. I don't know if you could actually see that from the media box where you're at, but he was actually campaigning to Coach Harbaugh to get the ball, and it was subtle as the game went on, but you can tell that he wanted to get himself revved up, and for whatever reason the offense didn't lean that way to where Frank Gore could get started. And at one point, I mean, it looked like they had to pass the ball just to get back into the game. But what was your synopsis on that as well?
Well, I should be asking you about that because it sounds like you were a little closer than I was. I basically read about it on Twitter. Kevin Lynch from the San Francisco Chronicle had tweeted about it. He blogged on it. And he said that it got a little bit heated. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was getting pretty chippy. And you know, Frank was—he would come over to my area for a little bit, and you could see his frustration. He just seemed like a caged animal. And you know, the more I looked at it, I said, "Well, wow, this is something that could linger on as the game went on." And then, so what he would do is he would pass by Coach Harbaugh from time to time, and and at one point he just looked at him before he went back out on the field, and he said, "Coach, come on." He's like, "Come on," and so.
Yeah, I really sympathize with him. It really doesn't make any sense. Well, I think Gore had, you know, more than 50 yards on that touchdown drive. And the Colts are a team that was 29th against the run last year, and they have some injuries on their defense. It just doesn't make sense. You should be able to plow 3-4 yards at a time and just keep their defense on the field the entire day. And I don't know why they went away from that, especially, like I said, when you have an injury to Vernon Davis, and it just seemed like there weren't really a lot of passing options for Colin Kaepernick. That's mind-boggling, I got to say.
Yeah, and so it looked like the running game was actually effective, like you were saying. And then, of course, Kendall Hunter had the 11-yard touchdown run in the first half, and you would think that, you know, San Francisco would have stayed with it. But it seemed, like you were saying, it seemed like the 49ers were out-coached, and Coach Harbaugh was trying to get Kaepernick going, and that shouldn't have been the case. If things are working, you know, don't go away from it. And I think that was a huge problem for San Francisco.
It's just really interesting because the running game really is Jim Harbaugh's bread and butter. That's true at Stanford. They like to get these big, beefy, bully lines and just push people around. And you saw that with, you know, Toby Gerhart and then Stephen Taylor later. And that continued into his tenure with the 49ers. They've been fourth on the ground during Harbaugh's tenure. That's what they like to do. And that made me wonder a little bit. If going back to the old debate from last year, would they have been better off with Alex Smith under center yesterday? I'm not criticizing Kaepernick's quarterback play per se, but just that when Alex Smith was under center, they played a real conservative game style. They would run 7-8 minute drives, gain 3.5 yards at a time, and get into these third and short situations that they knew Alex could handle. And I just wondered, wow, yesterday if Harbaugh had Kaepernick back there because he has less faith in him and because he's a quote-unquote game manager, would they have maybe stuck to the run more and actually pulled out that game? Really
good point. Good point. Definitely up for debate.
But, yeah, I have no idea what happened there with Jim Harbaugh. Maybe it's just the case where you're getting a little – you're outthinking yourself when it's just real easy to give the ball to the running back and let him plow through and gain a few yards. And I especially think the point needs to be made that when you do that, you keep your defense off the field. Because it was the 49ers defense that was on the field all day, because that's what the Indianapolis Colts were doing to them. I think it was 36 minutes time of possession for the Colts. You don't see that in 49ers games during Jim Harbaugh's tenure, where they're not the ones controlling the ball. And I really think they need to get back to that because, you know, one of the problems with, you know, high-octane offenses is that oftentimes you can score in like a minute 20 or 2 minutes. And that really doesn't do your defense any favors.
Paul Gackel joining us from the San Francisco Examiner sports columnist. Follow him at Gackel Report, also a hockey blog at GackelReport.com. Now, Paul.
I get the hockey blog in there.
Absolutely. We are here for you. If you go back a little more than a week ago to the big Sunday night game, 49ers at Seattle. And I know you were tied up with other duties from the Examiner. You didn't make the trip. What was the mindset of the team, and what did you feel the 49ers were expecting coming into that game, having been basically ran out of CenturyLink back in December, and then the same thing pretty much happened in the second half for sure, and now they've lost two games for the first time back-to-back in Jim Harbaugh's tenure?
Well, what do you think their mindset was after that last week's game?
Well, coming into it to start, and then conversely, where do you think they are now?
I think going into it, they still had a lot of swagger. I think they knew it was going to be a tough game. It's their rivalry game, and they know it's loud up there, and it's one of the toughest environments to play in. But I really think that they thought they had a chance to win that game. And I think everybody around football after the Niners win over the Packers and the way they won it, with Kaepernick throwing 40 times and throwing for 40, attempting 39 passes and throwing for 412 yards, I think everybody's like, wow, look at the different folds this team can bring. They can run a read option, and they can throw the ball now. You don't know what to expect from these guys. So I think they, just like everybody else, was feeling like this is as strong a team as that you have in football. And I think they really were humbled after that loss, because it wasn't like they went up there and they lost by a field goal and it was a tight game. They did get a licking there in the second half for the second straight time. And just Jim Harbaugh really seemed more subdued in his press conference on Monday than he really has in quite some time. Just not that sort of the swagger that you're used to with that team. And I think it really did take a little bit out of them, the way they got knocked, stomped down by the Seahawks. But I really expected them to come back and get their stuff together and be able to manhandle the Colts, because they were 7-0 after losses in the Jim Harbaugh era, outscoring their opponents 160 to something. So, you know, really surprising what we saw last week.
So if you're the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh, how do you right this ship and try to stave off the waters that you're taking on right now?
Well, I don't know if there's any, you know, easy answer, especially when you're looking at a three-day week, because they play the Rams on Thursday, and, of course, that's a team that beat them and tied them last week. And then you're going at it without Patrick Willis, and you're going at it without Alden Smith, and you're probably not going to have Vernon Davis, because we know hamstrings tend to nag. So I don't think that there's a fast, real easy answer to doing that. But I would say, you know, try to get back to basics a little bit, because this Rams defense isn't exactly, you know, the 85 Bears. And I think if you play a more conservative game, the type of game that you played when you had Alex Smith under center, that you have a much better chance. If you're going to try to go back there, and, you know, the Rams secondary is it's pretty thin, and that could be exploited. At the same time, you're still going to have the same receiver problems. You know, Anquan Boldin is not a guy that's just going to beat you. He's a receiver that gets his yards and gets his catches through his smarts, his strength, and, you know, finding little seams to get open in. But when the Niners don't have Vernon Davis out there and they don't have any other receivers at this point, nobody's stepping up, it really allows the defenses to clamp down on Boldin. I would say you want to probably be the conservative San Francisco 49ers of the 2011 season and see if you can orchestrate some long drives that keeps your defense off the field and try to just bully them. And it's going to have to take, I think, some toughness up front from the Hogs to keep pushing them. And if you're only gaining 3.5 yards of play, you can still get first downs and still move the ball quite a ways. I think that's the way to go.
Paul Gackel with the San Francisco Examiner. Hey, Paul, you had mentioned Vernon Davis being out. Of course, you know, pregame-wise, you know, we were looking for Vernon, and I could tell probably about 6 minutes before game time that he wasn't going to be on the field. And you're mentioning the receivers. You know, Kyle Williams, he's just not getting it. What do the 49ers do as far as the receiving core? Do they go out and try to get a free agent around this time, or do they just stick with what they have?
Well, you are going to have Mario Manningham come back. It looks like at some point in October, and hopefully Crabtree later in November, December. I don't know really what's out there. I mean, I don't think you have a lot of options right now. I think you need to find maybe creative ways to get receivers open if that means loading up, you know, one side or finding little gimmicks like that. I think you need Vernon Davis back on the field. But I think at this point, it really does look like it's a waiting game, because they did bring in guys like Austin Colley and LaBelle Hawkins in the preseason, and that didn't really do anything. So they are sort of stuck with what they have. You know, I'd also like to see Kaepernick take off a little bit more. Did you notice that yesterday? Did you sort of get the feeling that he was able to drop back and, you know, nobody's open after 3 seconds, and he was sort of dancing around in the pocket, creating time for himself rather than just pulling it down and taking off like he did last year when they were so dynamic in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, and I'm starting to believe that maybe Jim Harbaugh is kind of, you know, handcuffing Kaepernick a little bit, because week one we saw the same thing with Green Bay, and he was effective with it. He was able to stand in the pocket. Harbaugh comes out with this big deal of watch out, you know, for hurting my quarterback when he's running out of the pocket. And now yesterday we see Kaepernick standing in the pocket. He's a little antsy, but he wouldn't pull the trigger and he wouldn't run. And I saw the same thing, Paul, and I was wondering, when are you going to tuck it and go up the field? Because there were a couple of occasions where it looked like he could maybe get 15 or 20 yards.
Yeah, you know, that's just exactly what I observed. And, you know, it just seemed like he was thinking out there instead of playing football.
Right.
You know, in the playoffs, and especially that signature game against the Packers, it was like, okay, you're in the backyard, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to win the football game. And you know what? Nobody's open. You know, and I remember, I can look at times where maybe nobody's open after 3 seconds, just pull it in and just take off. And I felt like he could have done that a few times yesterday, but he's sitting back there thinking and reading sort of the defenses rather than being an athlete and just reacting and playing out there. And I do wonder if that's Harbaugh getting in his head saying, stay healthy, don't get hurt, don't get hurt, do whatever you can to stay healthy. We need you on the field.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. And, you know, with the short week, maybe it'll give Kaepernick enough time to just say, hey, just forget about what's gone on in the past and just go for what I know. And hopefully they can have a better game.
Yeah, I think that there's just a lot of different little different things that they can sort of iron out. But it's really unfortunate to them that they have such a short week and these Thursday games that, quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of personally. It's just too much football for me, and I never thought I'd say those words. But I think that, you know, you have to go on the road and play in a division opponent, like a big division game for them. It's a big game considering, from their vantage point, you don't want to be going back up to Seattle in the playoffs. And now you're looking at possibly being 1-3 with an 0-2 record in the division. That looks really bad. It's sort of a tough situation because after a week like this, you'd really like a little bit of time to maybe iron things out, and you got to really regroup. But hey, maybe the fire will be burning extra hot because it's, you know, so close to the loss that they'll come out with a lot of intensity and get it done. But we'll see. They play the game on the field, right?
Exactly. And Paul, I wanted to ask you a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. You'd mentioned Patrick Willis going down with a ding yesterday. And of course, Aldon Smith, everybody knows what's going on with Aldon Smith, and he's taken at least a month off to go through this rehabilitation. What do you think the San Francisco 49ers need to do? And I know the old adage, the next man up. But what do you think the 49ers need to do to make sure that they keep that staple? Because let's face it, the 49ers defense is what they lay their head on. How can they go out and continue to keep up the pressure?
Well, you know, if I had the answer to that, I'd probably be making $1 million in the NFL somewhere, rubbing $260 together to pay my rent here in the Bay Area. But I would say you're losing two All-Pro players, and there's just no replacing that. There's just no replacing that. Michael Wilhoit. Now, he played in Willis' spot during the preseason when he was hurt, and I got to say, and now you're only looking at a couple series where the starters play in the preseason, right? But the front seven did still look very dynamic with him in there in the small sample size that we saw during the preseason. But losing the interior guy and the big exterior pass rusher at the same time, and I just don't know that Corey Lemonnier, he's a third-round pick, or Dan Scuda, who might replace Aldon Smith, is going to be able to give you anywhere near what Aldon Smith would give you, that type of pressure from the outside. So I think, you've got a Band-Aid on there, and you got to be creative and find ways to win. You got to bend, not break, probably is what it's going to be. But we saw last year during the playoffs when Justin Smith had that triceps injury, and Aldon Smith was, of course, fighting the torn labrum, that defense just wasn't the same. They got passed on a bunch. And if you can't get a pass rush in this game, you can get picked apart awfully quickly. So we really won't know what that defense looks like until they get out on the field Thursday. But I'll tell you, if I had any answer for how you replace those guys, man, get me hired somewhere.
Definitely.
Paul Gackel joining us here from the San Francisco Examiner sports columnist. Follow him at Gackel Report. Paul, adversity in San Francisco. Jim Harbaugh hasn't really had to go through it. Do you feel being close to the team that Harbaugh is the guy that can rally the troops and find a way out of it? Or do you think that it's a sinking ship as we move on in 2013?
Well, I feel like there's just way too much talent on this team for it to be a sinking ship. There's just a lot of good football players on that team. And Colin Kaepernick still is a pretty special specimen that they have under center. So I don't see this being a sinking ship in like a 6-10 season or anything like that. Having said that, at this point with what they're going through, losing Aldon Smith for who knows how long, you got Willis out with a groin, that can nag. We don't know when Vernon Davis is going to come back. And we got a serious depth issue at receivers. I just don't think that this is going to be the Super Bowl type year that fans were hoping for. And I think that the 49ers are still good enough that they can probably claw and scratch their way to a wild card berth, but they're going to probably run into either the Seahawks or somebody else in the playoffs and get bounced. That's just the way it's looking at this point.
Well, Paul, earlier in the summer you did say that the Seahawks will probably win the division, and so far you are looking genius, my friend.
Did I say that? Well, I'm glad I did. I guess I'm smarter than even I thought.
All right, Paul Gackel, thanks so much for your time tonight. And definitely, as I've talked to you off the air, Sean Boyd and I are both trying to work the Seahawks-Niners game in December. And I will definitely come find you and drag Sean Boyd with me, and we'll have a chat and shake your hand. And thank you for being on the air with us.
Yeah, I'd love to see you guys and meet you guys. And, you know, maybe we can talk next week after the Rams game and kind of rehash. There's going to be a lot to update. And, you know, Boyd, if you're going to be at the next game at Candlestick, you know, pop in and say hi.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I meant to get up there and talk with you. I got pulled down. There was some camera stuff that we had to deal with. And so, yeah, I'll definitely make it a point to get up there and see you, Paul.
No problem. You got a job to do. I understand. We'll see you later, guys.
All right.
Paul Gackel of the San Francisco Examiner sports columnist. Follow him on Twitter at Gackel Report and check out his hockey blog at GackelReport.com. Thanks so much for your time. That was big time guest number one. We will get to a quick break and bring in big time guest number two after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Let's get right back to big time guest number two here on the phone lines and welcome in Chris Egan, King 5 Sports anchor. Follow him at Chris Egan 5 on Twitter. Chris, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, love being on the show with you guys tonight. Personally, I like the AC/DC over the Robin Thicke, Miley Cyrus music. You know, you got to do what you got to do there. So, pleasure to be on with you guys tonight, for sure.
Point taken, point taken. Well, hey, Chris, thanks for being on. I understand that, man, you're taking the time out to be on the show, and you're on a date with your lovely wife, man. So tell Melanie thank you for you, you know, just taking a few minutes to be on the show.
Hey, you better believe it. And it was I actually got to give credit to the wisdom to my good buddy Brock Huer, the former Seahawks quarterback. He looked at me one time, and it's so hard, as you guys know. You get in this business, and you can work 7 days a week. You can work 16 hours a day trying to cover all these teams. And Brock said, take one day a week and date your wife. Just do that for me, and you'll be happy. So that's what I'm doing tonight, and we're hanging out in the beautiful city of Auburn tonight, and I got to tell you what, I've been now 40 years in this Northwest. I've never seen Seahawks mania like this before. It's a Monday night. There's no game tonight, and everywhere you look, everybody's got some Seahawks jersey on, Seahawks hat, paraphernalia. It's absolutely amazing, guys. It's awesome right now.
Well, man, that's definitely some good stuff. And of course, Jacksonville coming into town yesterday. I mean, you know, I have to say one thing about that game yesterday. The Seahawks did not cover the spread. What was going on there?
Sure they did. It was 45-17. Yeah. It was a 20-point spread.
Was it a 20-point spread? I thought it was a 30-point spread. Okay.
At the last moment, I think it actually got even down to 19.
So, oh, it was down to 19. Carroll, okay.
Pete Carroll took care of you. You'd be fine if you were betting on the Cougs or the Huskies or the Seahawks this weekend. Yeah, that's for sure.
So Sean and I were just talking, at the beginning of the show about the whole college deal and how a lot of these colleges this past weekend were scoring 70-plus points. Well, the Seahawks-Jaguars game was very similar, to the point to where, hey, let's start putting in the second and third string. But the Seahawks fans were still in it and still excited to see that route.
No, and I think that's the great thing, guys. I remember the week before that game, right after the 49ers game. I mean, gosh, everybody was just going crazy. They set the world record for the loudest stadium in the world. I mean, it was a big victory over your NFC West rivals, the 49ers. And then here comes Monday, and Pete Carroll, the first thing he said is, I asked him the question. I said, how do you get up for this Jacksonville game after this 49ers game? He's like, you know what? We treat every game the same way. And you go and you listen to the players. You listen to Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson, Earl Thomas, and they say the same thing. You know what? This is our Super Bowl this weekend. And you're kind of like, oh, sure, yeah, right. But that is, when you go down to that stadium and they come out of that tunnel, that is their big game. The place is going crazy. Give credit to the 12th man, whether it was the 49ers or Jacksonville. They came out there. And you know what? I think everybody expected a win. But in the NFL, you never know. And the Seahawks took care of business. They dominated that thing. And I think what is so exciting, if you're a Seahawks fan, that you got to watch is depth, because everybody gets a little nervous. I mean, it's football. People get injured. I mean, we'd love to say that Russell Wilson walks on water. He's never going to have a bruise or a broken bone, but the chances are there. I mean, this is a very athletic quarterback. He moves. There's a chance there that he can get hurt. And to see what Devaris Jackson did yesterday, absolutely amazing. I mean, there's no quarterback controversy, but to know that backup can go out there and go 8 for 9, throw a beautiful ball. I think it was a 37-yard strike to Doug Baldwin, who makes maybe the catch of the year. I mean, I think that's a huge positive. I mean, that's a big sign when you can have your backup doing that type of thing.
Yeah, you mentioned in that pass to Doug Baldwin. I mean, Doug was falling back, and the defender was blanketed on him, and there he reaches out at the goal line to make this awesome catch. I mean, that was fascinating. Fascinating to see Devaris Jackson put that touch on the ball and Baldwin pulling it down. I mean, let's face it, the Seahawks are steamrolling this far. And you had mentioned a valid point as far as, having a coach preparing the guys to play. And it's not an easy task, especially when you have a Jacksonville Jaguar team that comes in. It's easy to play to the level of the competition. And Pete Carroll is, just like in college, at USC, he had those guys clicking. I mean, to where, hey, it doesn't matter. We're going to run up the score. It's going to be 63-10, and then I'll call off the dogs. But it does. It takes a special team to actually follow through, because, like you said, in the NFL, any given Sunday, another team can come in and beat you.
Yeah, you make a great point there about Pete Carroll. Last night, my cohort over at King 5 TV, Paul Sylvia, has a show with Warren Moon, and we were talking about who gets the game ball, who is the player of the game, and, people are throwing out Clinton McDonald. He had 1.5 sacks. Bennett had 1.5 sacks. Doug Baldwin was that great catch. He had Sidney Rice, who had 2 touchdowns. You had Zach Miller, who had 2 catches, both for touchdowns. And Warren Moon simply said, I got to give the game ball to Pete Carroll. As you said, you have to give credit to this coach who found a way to get his team motivated after this just incredible victory over the 49ers, and there was no letdown at all. In fact, you could say this team took it up even another notch. So, I mean, give credit to Pete and his coaching staff for having those boys ready to go. And you know what? He'll have another tough task this weekend. They head to Houston, another 10 a.m. start. They did well against Carolina, but, to head on the road, you don't have that 12th man behind you. You have to find a way to get fired up, but you know what? I have all the belief in the world that Pete will have the boys ready to go.
Chris Egan joining us here from King 5 Sports in Seattle. Follow him at ChrisEgan5 on Twitter. Now, Chris, as you mentioned, Seattle heads into Houston, who is reeling a little bit, licking their wounds after losing to Baltimore over the weekend. But definitely a tough place to play, Reliant Stadium. You've got the humidity in Houston. You've got a really good team there that just fell off this last weekend, and it will definitely be a good test for the Seahawks, who try to go 1-0 every week.
Yeah, and, Houston is a good team. I think a lot of people are sitting there looking at those highlights against Baltimore like, oh, wow, this team is not very good. Well, this is a 2-1 team. This is a playoff team. This is a team that plays very well at home. They ran into a red-hot Baltimore team, a Baltimore team that was kind of trying to get back on track themselves and prove that their defense is still Super Bowl worthy, and they did just that against Houston. And now you kind of start fearing, Houston got taken care of. Now they're mad, so who are they going to take it out on? Well, up next for them is the Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, everything is looking pretty good. On the injury front today, you know, Pete Carroll says Rhett Bryan, he left the game because of back spasms, but he's fine. He'll be ready to go. He'll practice on Wednesday. Of course, the guy's going to have tomorrow off. The only really injury from that game against Jacksonville was Jermaine Kearse, who left the stadium last night in a walking boot with an injured ankle. But Pete said today that Kearse is looking all right. He's better than expected. So, and then you got guys like Chris Clemens who got in there, Brandon Browner who's coming back. You have Walter Thurman playing great right now. So I got to tell you what, guys, and I don't know about you. I've watched a lot of Seahawks teams, but I've never seen a team with so much depth right now. And I know it's only week three. They're 3-0, and they have a lot to prove. But this is one of the best put-together teams I have ever seen in Seattle. And I don't know. I have no fear. I mean, bring on Houston. Bring on Indy. Let's see it. Let's go one at a time.
Now, Chris, you talk about how well the team is put together. And what does that say about Pete Carroll and John Schneider being not only on the same page, but having the same vision and walking the same path, in contrast to what we had a few years back with Holmgren and Ruskell, who were never on the same page, and they never got over the hump outside of they did make one Super Bowl, but we know how that ended up.
Yeah, well, if you go back to that press conference at the VMAC in Renton, where Pete Carroll introduced John Schneider. Anybody that was at that press conference remembers that it was like these two guys could go on the road and have their own comedy show. You could tell right away that these two guys were clicking. You're like, wow, these two guys are like brothers up there. They really fit. They were just working off all the questions. You could tell their philosophy was exactly the same. You could tell that they were not where they wanted to be. You could tell that they had a plan in progress. And it was just so rewarding as a Seahawks fan and as a journalist to cover this team. They're like, okay, I think it's going to be all right. And there were some moves early on, you know, that people are starting to question, you know, oh, Lofa Tatupu, what? You're getting rid of Matt Hasselbeck. You know, people were questioning John, but, you know, now in John we trust. That is the motto around the Northwest, because every move John Steiner makes is just turning to gold. And you look at some of these draft picks. I mean, we're starting to see guys like Christian Michael, Luke Wilson, talk about a guy that could have deserved the game ball yesterday, this rookie tight end, just coming through with five catches yesterday. And all these picks that John Steiner is making. And then even look at the off-season acquisition of a Michael Bennett and what he does. I mean, these are all golden moves, and Pete and John are right online. And I know a lot of people look to Pete, and they look at him on the sidelines and his inspirational speeches and his his always compete things, but you have to give just as much credit, as you said there, to John Schneider, the general manager of the Seahawks.
Yeah, Chris, you have mentioned some valid points here. It takes some time to actually build a solid organization, and you had mentioned tight end Luke Wilson getting a chance. Of course, Zach Miller a couple of years ago coming over and being that that great tight end. Depth on the roster is key, and so the rival, the Seahawks rival, the San Francisco 49ers, are actually starting to feel that right now as far as injuries. A little nick here and a little nick there. Patrick Willis going out yesterday. I believe Nnamdi Asamoah was injured. And then
throw a DUI in there as well.
Throw a DUI and a hamstring pull against Seattle with Vernon Davis. And now the 49ers are looking at, where is our depth? So you mentioned it, Snyder, definitely doing a great job as far as putting together a roster.
Yeah, and the other thing, I think, guys, when you look at the NFC West, I think a lot of people, I don't think there was much concern with Arizona. I mean, you still got to go play them twice during the year, but I think there was a little concern about what was going on in St. Louis. And, wow, did they get an eye-opener head to Dallas? I mean, that's not an easy place to play, but and a nice day yesterday for the NFC West when you consider the Seahawks. They get the victory and everybody else. The Cleveland, the Rams, and the 49ers all lose. So, I mean, once again, it's early, but things looking good. And I know how Pete Carroll approaches things. They kind of approach it, in a quarter of our season. It's actually going to be over next week. So if they could finish that first quarter of the season 4-0, then after a better season, guys.
Yeah, so you're looking at, 7 teams, I believe, that are 3-0 right now, Seattle being one of them. And that first quarter of the season is so pivotal as far as getting off to a great start. I don't see Seattle doing what Arizona did last year, of course, starting out 4-0 and then, you know, just being obliterated for the rest of the season. It does look like a great start for Seattle, especially with San Francisco looking like they hit a bump in the road.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, I think it must be scary for the rest of the NFL. The Seahawks team is just going to get better and better and better as the season goes on. I mean, the defense has been top-notch, but they, once again, they're adding guys like Brandon Brown and Chris Clemens, and Russell Wilson will be the first guy to tell you, you know, things started clicking a little bit yesterday. He loved that drive after Bobby Wagner made the interception, and they went down in 5 plays, 34-second drive, and scored. He had a couple passes to Golden State, and he went to the City Rice. He had a scramble himself. I mean, that's what Russell Wilson wants to see from this team each and every drive. He loves how things are moving there. I think everybody would, you know, like to see a little bit more from the run game, and I think we're seeing some spurts. Marshawn Lynch had a 27-yarder yesterday, but finished with just 69 yards. Christian Michael had a couple nice runs. But, you know, and that's the offensive line. Tom Cable's having a real little stuff on right now with Russell seeing that. But, you know, good praise to them yesterday as well. I mean, when you look at it, only 4 penalties yesterday, and this is a team that early on there was some concerns. You know, another holding, another offside. And just 4 penalties for 24 yards yesterday. So another positive with this team, but the offense is going to just get better and better. And then, yeah, let's just go ahead and throw that name out there, Percy Harvin. You know, who knows? He may be back after getting ready for a postseason run.
Chris Egan, kind enough to join us from King 5 Sports, and follow him at ChrisEgan5 on Twitter. Chris, last question for you. How do you like that the people, the fans, get to decide the end of the week for you and choose the big game of the week, switching gears to high school?
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to talk Mariners, but yeah, we can.
Oh, goodness. They haven't had a big game of the week in a decade or so. But absolutely, on the Western Washington side of the mountains, king5.com/sports, you can choose where Chris Egan will go to cover a high school game. And the choices this week are Lincoln versus North Thurston, who I am partial to, Bothell versus Eastlake, Seattle Prep versus O'Day, Mount Lake Terrace versus Glacier Peak, Thomas Jefferson versus Todd Beamer, and Chris Egan's favorite, Puyallup versus Curtis.
Oh, know, man, Vikings, a battle of Vikings. The Vikings. Yes.
You know, I love this big game of the week because every week it's different. And I'll take you to last week. I went to this Auburn Riverside game, and they were playing Tahoma. And to be honest, we haven't had Auburn Riverside on our station a whole lot. You know, a lot of times you pick the games and you go to some of the big ones, the Skylines, the Bellevues, and we try to get around as much as we can. As you guys know, I mean, there's thousands of high schools out there, and you know, you love high school sports, but there's just no way to get everyone on there. And we go to this Auburn Riverside school. This was a team that was 1-9 last year, and there was kids that were thinking about quitting, and they just didn't like football anymore, and the coach and the new attitude, and now this team is 3-0. The student body was going crazy after the game. Kids were crying. Moms were hugging. I mean, it was just so much fun to see. And, I love high school sports. I don't know about you guys, but it's just Friday night when you see these parents and these kids giving everything they got out there, and it's so much fun for me. I love covering it. And John, I'm like you, man. That North Thurston Lincoln game, John Kitna is going to have that program rolling here, and it already is. And it's a big battle there. Two undefeated teams, but you know what? I can never say where I want to go because that team never wins. So I just have to kind of remain impartial. That's how it works.
Well, I'm going to pick my side, and I'm definitely going with the Aves of Lincoln there, you know, for personal reasons. But, yeah, like you said, John Kitna has the team clicking. You know, even with the setback of his son not being able to play, you know, these guys are rolling through that narrows. And so, you know, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did a sit-down interview last week for a show we were doing on Butch Johnsonoff, the Bellevue coach, and he's like, you know, the teams will watch out for it. And I was thinking maybe he was thinking Mount Si or O'Day or, you know, teams that we can play for. And he said, no, it's Lincoln. And we played them last year in the playoffs, and we won big, but our boys came back in their locker room, and they're like, man, we've never had a team hit like that before. So, I mean, Kittner, he's just on year two now. He's already making a difference to that team there. So that's good to see. The former Central Washington Wildcat making a difference in the high school ranks.
Well, absolutely. Good to hear that John Kitten has got things going in the right direction. As we know, we've had him on the show here previously, and Sean Boyd knows him personally. So good to hear that good things are happening in Tacoma for John Kitten and the Lincoln Abes.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, I don't know, Mariners wrapping up. I can't say much there about them.
Yeah. There's always next year, right?
There you go.
All right, Chris, well, lots more we could get to, but we know you've got a very important person waiting for you, and definitely buy an extra beverage for Miss Melanie tonight, and thank her so much for allowing you the time.
Hey Chris.
Hey, guys, she's actually she's a big fan of yours, because what this did was allow her to get some extra shopping time in by herself. So she's now a huge fan of your guys', so you know, no worries at all. She said, in fact, she's like, you can be on with those guys all night long if you're going to let me shop. But I better get in there, because I only have so much money in my account. So I'm a little worried there. But,
Yeah. You got to get in there. But, man, you know, I always take notes on the show, and one of the notes that I just took was make sure that I take my wife out at least once a week, man. So
date your wife.
Yes, once a week.
Date your wife. Whatever it is, just date your wife, whether it's a quick jump to the burger joint or shopping, whatever. That's, you know, it's working for me. I'm on year 18 now, so who knows? We'll see.
There you go. Well, man, now you got to follow that checkbook or that credit card, so I'll let you get back in there, man.
Hey, Chris, next time you see Sylvie and Mr. Tony White, make sure you say hi for me, and I'll look for you guys the weekend of the Titan game when I'm back in town.
I love it. We will look for you there, and what a game that's going to be. Jake Locker, nice little victory for him last week. So always going to be fun to watch the pride of Ferndale, Washington, coming back to town. And he has a big fan base here in the Northwest. So that will be a great game. And, I'll see if I can get Paul Sylvie to put the weights down and hang out with you, Sean, a little bit more. So.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Emmy Award-winning sports reporter and anchor Chris Egan of King 5 Sports. Follow him at ChrisEgan5. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
All right. You too, Chris.
Man, there were so many different directions we could keep going, like Mr. Egan's wife was saying, you know, stay all night, and we could have gone on, but we'll save more questions and more discussion for another time here on the Double with the Double S Express. Big thanks to both of our big-time guests, Paul Gackle and Chris Egan, and we will be back to wrap up the show number 20 here on the Double with the Double S Express.
What? I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express as we are wrapping up show number 20. A great show tonight. Sean Boyd, Paul Gackle of the San Francisco Examiner, sports columnist, filling us in on the ups and downs of the San Francisco 49ers, and Chris Egan, sports anchor reporter at King 5 TV in Seattle. Just a good, good show with good insight tonight.
Yeah, of course, Paul Gackle coming on and giving that insight about the 49ers and you know, it looks like two teams going in different directions. But I do believe that, you know, the information given from myself and Paul, you know, that somewhere down the line, you know, San Francisco can you know, make this a good season. And yeah, I'm along the lines with him. I do not see the 49ers as a Super Bowl contender, but I do see them actually going to the playoffs. And so, you know, they're going to have to fix some things. And Jim Harbaugh is going to have to make some adjustments. And we'll get a chance to see if he actually does that.
Yeah, and he's got the chance to do that against the NFC West division rival St. Louis Rams, who they had a very tough time with in 2012.
Yeah, and you know, of course, the St. Louis Rams, coming off of a tough loss there and against the Cowboys. And so, you know, both teams are going to be ready to fight, you know, this Thursday. It's an NFC West divisional game. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to have his team ready.
And then conversely, the Seattle Seahawks took care of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now they head to Houston for the first of two straight road games. They take on Houston and now the Indianapolis Colts the following week.
Yeah, you know, and you'd mentioned a point, you know, talking with Chris as far as, you know, Seattle going into Houston. You mentioned Reliant Stadium and, you know, the way the fans are there. You know, Seattle's deal is to make themselves look different and play different than they did on the road last year. I think this is a better Seattle team, and I believe that they will do just that. Houston, is in the AFC, is still one of the better teams in the AFC, but I believe that the NFC powerhouses such as the Seattle's, the San Francisco's, and even the Green Bay's are a little better than the AFC.
Well, this is definitely the biggest two-game stretch for the Seattle Seahawks. Two games on the road, two games with 10 a.m. Pacific time kicks, being Houston and then to Indianapolis back-to-back. If they can get through at 1-1, and by chance if they can get both those games, there's a very good chance they could run the table and get very dangerous as the year goes on.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's a little early in the season to think that, and I'm sure Pete Carroll is not thinking that. I'm sure that he's thinking take it one game at a time. As a fan, of course, it would be great to start talking about 16-0. That's something that, you know, the New England Patriots tried to do in recent times, and it's tough, especially when you're playing in an NFL that has a lot of the same similar pieces and teams make adjustments quickly on you. And so I just think one game at a time, and if that happens, it happens. But it shouldn't be something that the team should be looking at or talking about anytime soon.
No, absolutely not. And the team definitely is not. And Russell Wilson's goal is go 1-0 every week. So, you know, if your captain is sitting there saying, hey, we got to win one game and that's it, and then come Monday, it's win one more game, you know, the 16 games add up and eventually you might get there, but one at a time is the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. So, yep. So they got Houston this week, and then, you know, after that, you know, if they can go through the season, as Chris was talking about, injury free, because that's the biggest key. You know, if you're looking to win football games in the NFL, things have to go right for you. You can have the talent, but you also have to have the luck of the ball from time to time. And you have to make sure that your players are doing the right things and staying injury free. If you have those three things, along with playing with all three phases of the game, you're going to have a great season.
And one team that has had a great season in a different sport, the Oakland Athletics, have clinched another AL West Division Championship.
Yeah, it was a great time yesterday. The Oakland A's clinching the AL West, and it's exciting, you know, because, you know, the beginning of the season, you know, the prognosticators had Texas winning, you know, winning the West. And, you know, Oakland was one of those teams that they thought, hey, they're a good team, but, you know, I don't think they're a team that can actually, you know, win their division. And, you know, the Oakland A's, you know, Billy Beane is doing an awesome job. And, you know, I mean, you know, they're a powerhouse, a real powerhouse. And so it was exciting. It was exciting to see those guys celebrating yesterday in hopes that they can bring a World Series title back to the Bay.
And they definitely have a shot. Hey, they're in the dance, and you let the chips fall where they may and see what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, you have a tough Detroit Tigers baseball team looming in the wings. They're, you know, they're always there to make sure that, you know, they have strong bats. They have excellent pitching in Verlander. And so, you know, if they can win that, the AL pennant, that would be great. And then, you know, let's see what happens.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Sacramento, California. I am Sean Wally up in Tri-Cities, Washington, the Pacific Northwest. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 20 in the book, Sean Boyd, as we had Paul Gackle from the San Francisco Examiner and Chris Egan of King 5 Sports in Seattle as big-time guests here tonight.
Yeah, two great guests, you know, and, you know, week after week, we make sure that we're bringing, you know, solid information for you. We bring it from the perspective of, you know, our areas. And so I know that, you know, we have listeners from all around the world, which is great for our show. But, you know, we bring that perspective from Northern California to the Pacific Northwest, and we try to stretch it a little bit more. But, yeah, great guests on, great beat writers, and, you know, we're happy to have them on the show.
And definitely, if you want to hear something different or you want to just chime in and give your opinion on the good, the bad, and the ugly with the Double S Express, let us know. Find us on Twitter at Double S Express, X-P-R-E-S-S, as well as Facebook, and also our own website, double-s-express.com.
And so, yeah, man, having Chris on and was awesome. I mean, you can tell he was getting away. I apologize, listeners. It sounded like something was wrong with his mic, or maybe, you know, he was moving around a little bit. But great information, great insight, and, of course, being from the Pacific Northwest and having ties with our engineer, Don Newsom. Don and Doug are going to college up at PLU, where Chris Egan graduated from. So from one loot to another, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. PLU in the house. And heck, I even spent a week there for a summer at a camp. So, hey, we've all got some ties to PLU if you spend any time in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, definitely a beautiful campus up there, nestled in Parkland, Washington. Pacific Lutheran University, man, once upon a time they had an awesome football team. I think they are still okay. I know Frosty Westring, who just passed away a couple months ago, used to have that team clicking. And so, you know, those were good times, you know, thinking back about PLU and their football organization as well.
Absolutely. Coach Westring, a great man and a fabulous football coach. And, you know, he's up in heaven, definitely with the coaching greats for sure.
Yes.
Well, that's going to wrap up show number 20 here on the Double with the Double S Express as we keep trucking along. And we'll bring you show number 21 next Monday. And thanks again to Paul Gackle, sports columnist at the San Francisco Examiner. Follow him at Gackle Report on Twitter, and as well as hockey blog, GackleReport.com. And big-time guest number 2, Chris Egan, King 5 Sports anchor reporter. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisEgan5. And I can report to you that Chris Egan has just thanked us on Twitter for having us on and having a fun show.
Well, that's awesome stuff. And so, yeah, and again, you know, follow us at Double-S-Express. Send us your thoughts. And, you know, if you have any ideas, you know, for the show, let us know those as well. And so, you know, it's been a great show, Sean Wally, number 20. Looking forward to number 21 next week, man.
Yeah, definitely 20. That's a big number to think we've had 20 shows in the books.
Yeah, how do you celebrate that? I mean, I know that there's a silver at 25 and, you know, whatever at 50, or I think it's a diamond. I'm not sure. But, man, what do you do for 20?
I hope it's not push-ups.
Yeah. Hey, I could do 20. So, yeah, if that's the case, I'll drop down and do 20 tonight for a celebration.
I definitely need to do about 20 times 12. So, Thanks a lot to Don back at the stations for putting this show together and engineering everything tonight. And once again, Paul Gackle and Chris Egan for our big time guest, show number 20. For Sean Boyd, I'm Sean Wally. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.